Welcome, 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 welcome into the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor. I've done thousands of real estate deals over the years, everything from wholesaling deals to lease options to short sales to foreclosures to new construction properties, you name it, I've done it. And on this show today, we're going to talk about DIY investing, you know, doing it yourself and trying to find properties, renovate properties, do it all yourself, or working with a full service team, the pros and cons of each of those things. And we're going to kind of pull those apart and have a discussion about all of that. And, you know, I have people reach out to me on a regular basis, say, you know, where should I look for deals? Or maybe I located a deal. Now, what do I do now? How do I get financing? How do I pull these things together? How do I find contractors? How do I do it? Right. And so there's a lot of moving parts in this process, and we're going to talk about them on today's show. We're going to talk about some of the main differences between using a done-for-you investing service and the DIY route. Now, let me first kind of define what that is. Now, a done-for-you full-service real estate company is what my company at Morris Invest does. So I'm going to explain what that looks like. And it's a little bit different than you've probably heard the term thrown around, like turnkey or that sort of thing. And there's different thresholds. There's different layers of this, okay? So at what layer, you have DIY, right? Do it yourself. You're going to try to go out and you're going to try to locate. Maybe you work with a wholesaler. Maybe you do some direct mail campaigns to try to find an off-market deal. Maybe you bought some raw land and you're going to build a rental property on that land in a great school district, so it's going to be great cash flow. You've thought about all the tax implications. You've thought about the demographics. You've thought about the property management, like all of those things. That's DIYing. Next level is maybe you buy it from a turnkey provider, someone who's going to does the work, gives you the property, hands the keys over to you, and then they're bye-bye, they're out of the picture. Then a done-for-you service, fully done-for-you, that's what we do, which is we're going to work with you to help you build a portfolio of properties for many years to come. And our team, a customer service team, is always available to work with you, to help you along the way. They're going to be sort of an intermediary between a property management company and you, making sure that the property is always rented, or if there's a tenant turnover in the property, it's going to happen very quickly. Any repairs that pop up over time, they're going to be there to help you and assist you. They're going to hold your hand through that whole process. That's very different than a turnkey where they're just going to turn the keys over to you. Here you go. Here's your property. There's a tenant living in the property. If you have any problems a year from now, don't call us. So again, DIY, maybe a tenant's placed in the property, hands the keys over to you. Then there's like different layers of this, and then full service. And so those, I think, are the different thresholds. Now let's kind of dive into some of these different layers of all of this and what to expect and some of the pros and cons of each of these things. Investing with a full service company versus doing it yourself are two very different experiences. I mean, let's just put that out there, right? How many of you, show of hands, have tried to do this yourself, and how many of you have actually worked with a team that's doing it for you? It's a full-time job, right? As you know, if you've done it yourself, you know that there's a lot of things that you might not have considered. And as you start the process, you're like, holy crap, I didn't even think about this. I didn't think about the school districts. I didn't think about the lumber costs. I didn't think about property management. I didn't think about half the stuff that I need to think about, right? And that's what happens. I've been there. I've gone through it. And I'm going to tell you, it's not fun if you haven't planned it out. So we're going to kind of break this down for you. I feel confident in sharing my opinions on this because there's a lot to consider, and I've done it all. I've done it on both sides of this. My very first few properties that I ever bought were DIY. Okay. I was managing construction with contractors from states away, and I was trying to do it all myself. I didn't know, you know, what was happening. I wasn't there managing it. That contractor could have been there, could have been sleeping on the job. It could, you know, could have been working around the clock. I don't know because I wasn't there. So these things, you know, unfold in this way. Personally, you know, I want to talk about, like, when it comes, there's a lot to consider when it comes to your resources. How much time do you have? Like, if you're a person that works, has a job, okay, and has a family, I want you to think about the DIY side of this is going to, it's another job. You're managing a build of a property. That is a job. Placing tenants in a property. That's why property management companies exist. They're full companies that do this. Now you're going to take that on as a responsibility. Definitely something to pay attention to. It just depends on what you want out of the experience. If you're one of those people, and we'll talk to clients on the phone like this who really want to have their hands in it. I mean, they really want to pick out paint colors and faucets and manage contract. They really want to be involved in it. They've watched those HGTV shows, you know, or the Discovery Channel shows, like the flipping your house shows. They've met Tarek El Moussa or whatever, and they want to go and do it themselves. Well, you're going to be sorely disappointed if someone else is doing all the work for you, right? Like if you want to find the properties, if you want to pick the paint colors, hire the contractors and be involved in the day to day, then turning the keys over to somebody else is not going to make you happy. And this is definitely something that you need to weigh. If you really want to be actively involved in the process from a hobbyist perspective, then you absolutely should not be working with a full service team. You should be doing this yourself. First, let's dive into what it's like to do a DIY investment. Let's kind of break this down. I've done a lot of this. You'll need to find, first of all, a rental property in the right market, okay? So let's just start there for a second. We've talked at length on this show and on this channel about finding the right rental markets. Now, I can tell you the research that we do as a team, our on-the-ground field team, as well as our in-house marketing team, the work that they're doing to identify the demographics of a town, to understand where a new highway is going to be built, looking at, okay, we know that city planners are planning to build a new thoroughfare through this portion of the town, which will open up new shopping, it'll open up new public transportation, new jobs, all of those things go before we even think about where we're going to start to buy land, start to invest, and start to go through that process. I can tell you, to find properties is very difficult. And as Warren Buffett said, if he could buy every single family home in America, he would. He can't because it's incredibly difficult to do. But BlackRock is certainly trying to do that, right? Large investment hedge funds are absolutely sticking their hands as much as they can into acquiring as much real estate as they can. The interesting thing is, for a lot of these big hedge funds, is that they can't find properties anymore. So what they're doing is they're building their own. They're building their own entire rental communities because they cannot find random single family duplex homes anymore at a good bargain that they can go in and add value to. They're just hard to find. We have a housing crisis in the United States. We just don't have enough houses by a long shot. So to find an investment property is one thing. A friend of ours and investor reached out recently because he had found a big deal and he was looking to partner on a project. And I was surprised because he found like a large commercial deal that he's gone in with a bunch of investors on. And those are incredibly difficult to find. And if you do find one, the numbers have to make sense from a value add perspective. Like finding this large property, great. But can you add value to it so you can increase and force the appreciation on the property and increase rents and increase, you know, the value by adding a park, a pool, or other things, right? If you're finding a, you know, 100 unit apartment complex, it's going to be very difficult to find one that hasn't already been upgraded or values added to it so that you can actually get a good return on that investment from a commercial perspective. So again, finding a property is number one. Then you've got to get inspections on the property. Okay. Then you're going to go through the process of getting inspections to make sure that the property doesn't have any hidden problems in this property. On the surface, you may say, well, cosmetically, this looks like crap. I'm going to have to do a lot of work on this property. Then once the inspection gets there and notices there's a cracked foundation, which is going to require engineering work, or there's asbestos remediation, or things like that. I can tell you in New Jersey, I've had to deal with this repeatedly when I've done deals in New Jersey, find a property. Then once you get it under contract and you're down there with the inspector in the basement and you're looking and you suddenly see, oh crap, we've got all of these asbestos pipes all around here. You know, now what are we gonna do? Well, guess what? You can't just go in and have a contractor rip that out. You can do that illegally, but you've got to do it correctly, which is you have to have the remediation team come in. It adds extra thousands of dollars to the process because now the asbestos removal needs to be done by certified environmentally protected companies with licenses, all of that crap. It just adds a whole level to the project that you didn't anticipate. So you could find foundation work or plumbing issues in the property that you might not know about. I can tell you what happens a lot too when you find a property like this. You might not realize that the piping it could be old clay piping that needs to be replaced, but you don't know it until they do special tests on that piping. You find out that half of it's cracked or it has roots growing through it, which will cause backups and plumbing issues. And so again, there are things that once you start removing drywall, once you start getting your hands dirty, it's going to add to your costs. So these are important things to find out in your inspection process. The next thing is, of course, you're going to have to do the repairs. And I know, like, just saying like those two words, do repairs, that's huge. Okay. So you're going to need to hire the right contractors. So where do you find the right contractors? A lot of contractors right now are so busy that they're not going to be able to work with you. I'm just going to tell you right now, they're so busy. There's such demand. There's 6, 8 month, 10 month backlogs for contractors right now. A contractor we were trying to work with on some cabinet install, she's backed up about 6 months right now. It's just incredibly difficult to find. Now, if you do find somebody, you better, you know, my goal in that situation is to want to keep them around so that they're going to work for you regularly. Like if you're going to do this as a lark, as a hobby, then they're not going to want to work with you for very long. And or if they do, they're going to charge you more because this is just like a one-off project and they don't know you from Adam and they're going to be gone after this project. You know, our team, our contractors that we have on staff, they're going to be constantly working and they're paid well and they know the next job is like right around the corner because we're building 20, 30 properties at a time, right? So they're constantly working. If you hire a contractor, you want to make them happy and keep them around and bring, you know, make sure you have like the next deal, the next project after the first one is completed. So it's going to be difficult finding a contractor. One suggestion would be, first of all, you know, just simply going through the phone book, trying to find contractors that have the money to advertise. Great. Reach out to them, tell them about your project. And just, if they don't laugh at you, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. If you say, hey, I have a property, it's under contract, I love you for you to come out and take a look at it and give me an estimate of repairs on this property. If they're willing to do that and they're not backlogged with projects, great. And then I would try to find a second or a third person in that mix too to give you, to bid the job. You're going to want to make sure that you're going to get bids on these jobs and not just take one person's word for it. Very often you're going to find that the bids are going to be totally different. They're going to be totally out of whack. And my advice, even though I'm not a financial advisor, but from a contractor perspective, you don't choose the cheapest and you don't choose the most expensive. You choose just right, usually right in the middle. Because what will happen is that person has not gone too cheap, but they've not gone too high. And then there's some wiggle room there in case you need to go up a little bit because of some things that are discovered when you start pulling out drywall. And there's some other discoveries that have to go. So doing repairs, getting an assessment of the property before you pull the trigger. But in all of this, guys, remember, you have to make sure that the numbers make sense. So if you've got a property under contract, you've done any inspections on it, you think it's a good deal, okay, then you have a person come out to bid the job, come out to take a look at the repairs, and then if the repairs are still good and all the numbers make sense and your internal rate of return is going to be rock solid, then great. That's when you move forward. But if the numbers don't make sense out of the gate, it's just going to be too much to repair this property. I've walked away from deals before. I mean, I found things in the inspection process and I'm like, no, the numbers for us to remediate this asbestos problem, unless you seller are willing to come down another $10,000 in your sales price, I can't do this deal. I can't. There's too many problems with this property. It's happened time and back when I was just wholesaling properties when I first started. You know, I would have a property and I would take it to a person that wanted to renovate properties, you know, a house flipper. And they'd go through and they'd have their inspectors come out and they'd look at it and they'd be like, do you see this basement wall? It's caving in, you know, like, oh, man, no, I didn't know that. I didn't see that. You know, I was young. I was green. I didn't know. So what did I need to do? I said, what do we need to do to make this deal work? Well, you're going to have to come down at about $8,000 in your price because that alone is going to cost me about $8,000 to remediate. Then I'd have to go back to the seller and I have to say, Mr. Seller, I'm sorry, we discovered some things in the inspection process and this is known as getting a haircut. I got to be very good at getting haircuts because back when I was first starting, so I'd have to go back to the seller and I have to say, I'm not going to be able to do this deal. We discovered something in the basement. So unless you're able to come down about $10,000 in your price, I can't do this deal. And they'd say, well, that's too, you know, and they'd yell at me and hang up on me. And then they'd always call me back 24 hours later. Fine. If you can do the deal for that, we'll do it. Because they realize the property is in crap condition and they're not going to sell it anywhere else. It needs a ton of work. I've got a buyer who's willing to renovate the property and you're not going to put this on the MLS with the realtor. So here I am able to help you and get this deal done. And so that happens all the time, going back and forth on that. Then, of course, once you hire the contractors, do the repair or get the repairs lined up, run the numbers, make sure the numbers make sense. Then after all of this is in place, you're going to screen the tenants. You're going to get tenants in the property. You're going to find a local property management company to make sure that the rent makes sense. Get a great management team involved unless you're going to do it yourself, which is another level of DIYing the property. And more, every step of the way, you are going to be involved in this process. Again, DIY, do it yourself. You are in charge. So you better know all of the ins and outs of this process. What are the rents going to look like in this neighborhood? Maybe ahead of, before you even buy the property, you better figure that out. You know, what is the vacancy rate in this neighborhood? How long can I expect this house to be vacant before it's filled with a tenant? You know, what does the job situation look like? Am I going to be constantly changing tenants out here because there's not a lot of jobs in this town? All of those things go into consideration here. Oh, I was just complaining to my wife how I couldn't stand my underwear anymore. And I was so excited when I got my new Tommy John underwear. I mean, first of all, I don't like it being too tight, riding up, all of that. You know, all of those problems you get with the wrong kind of underwear. And it's one of those things where it's such a pain where it's like a slow pain all day. And you're like, why am I wearing these uncomfortable underwear? Why am I doing it? So, you know, the summer heat right now is starting to melt your ice cubes. Stay frosty where it counts in brand new Tommy John underwear. Because when you wear Tommy John, you're that much cooler. So you can do everything better. Thanks to the breathable, lightweight fabric with 4 times the stretch of competing brands. With dozens of comfort innovations, Tommy John will keep you looking and feeling cool all season long, from lounging at home to summertime fun. That's why Tommy John doesn't just have customers, they have fanatics, and I'm one of them. With over 17 million pairs sold, people love their Tommy John underwear and their loungewear. Right now, I want you to go to TommyJohn.com/investing. You need to go to that URL. So it's TommyJohn.com/investing to get 20% off your first order. Hey guys, Father's Day is coming up. So maybe, you know, treat yourself or tell your significant other that you would like some Tommy John underwear. Get 20% off right now at TommyJohn.com/investing. That's TommyJohn.com/investing. See the site for details. So let's get into the pros and cons of DIY investing. Again, I've done both. And I'm going to go through what I feel. This is, again, my personal opinion, but based on experience, based on a lot of experience in this business. And your mileage may vary. You know, you might hit a home run, your first property, and you're like, this is easy. Great. Great. Then you get that sophomore jinx. Then it's the second property that gives you, like, you're like, oh my God, what did I do? You know, it's like it teases you. It's like gambling. You know, you go to Vegas or something, and you're like, you pull that slot machine. You know, they're watching up there in the booth. They're like, get that guy some cash. Then you're like, oh my God, I just hit it big. And then you go spend it all to the next table and you lose everything. That's what happens if you don't know what you're doing. So the pros, okay, on a DIY job, what are the pros? Well, the pros are you have more control. If you're the type of person that likes to have control, are you a control freak? Be honest with yourself. If you're a control freak, you like to have control of every step of the process, even in things you don't know much about. Be honest with yourself. Then, and you want to oversee every detail of the process, then this is going to be the way to go for you. I absolutely recommend that you become a DIY investor if you are a control freak. If you like to have control and you like to be involved in every step of the process, you must. Do not try to go with a company that's going to do it for you. You will be pissed. I'm telling you. You won't be happy about it. Also, you know, if you are looking for lower costs, so lower costs, another big piece of this, and maybe higher returns at the same time. So lower costs out the door, higher returns. It's possible. If you're going to go out, you're going to buy distressed properties. So if you're going to do the hunt, if you're going to go on the mission, Indiana Jones style, and actually go out and try to find a property that's not already bought up by other investors, that's not already bought up by the big hedge funds, that's not already listed with a real estate agent, and you can manage through direct mail. I used to spend about $11,000 a month in direct mail to find distressed properties. But this was when the market was recovering from the 2008-2009 collapse. So I would send about $11,000 in direct mail every month across the state of New Jersey where I lived. I targeted three different counties, and I set up, you know, special phone numbers, and I had my whole assistant, my whole team doing this so that when the phones rang because they had a property they were interested in selling, if I got 100 phone calls, my goal was one deal out of that 100 phone calls. No lie, that was my number. If I was lucky, maybe two, but out of 100 phone calls that I would call back, I would schedule hours every night, about 4 hours, where I would be on the phone talking to sellers on properties, going through and figuring out like what is the address of the property, what are some of the ins and outs of this property, figuring all of those things out on the phone before I would ever drive out and actually see the house. And then after that, one out of 100 phone calls might end up being a deal for me. So think about those numbers, okay? Finding distressed properties in this market is incredibly difficult. So if you think I'm just going to go on Zillow and I'm going to find a distressed property, I would caution you, number one, you might find some deals. You might find some on Craigslist for sale by owner section. Great. But if they've been sitting there on Zillow for 300 days, 100 days, there's a problem with that property. Properties don't sit. Deals do not sit. If it's a deal, an investor is going to snap it up like a heartbeat, in a heartbeat. So if it's sitting on Zillow for 100 days or 200 days, DOM, days on market, there's a problem with that property. Something's wrong there. Either it's in a bad neighborhood, it needs way more work, it has got some sort of violation, tax lien on the property. There's some issue that you just don't see by looking at pictures on Zillow. But if you can find a deal and you have the guts and you're like a bulldog, like a dog with a bone, and you are going to spend the hours on the phone and you're going to be driving around looking at properties, if you can find a deal, you can probably find a lower cost property, and you might save yourself a few thousand dollars by finding a property like that. And then that means you'll get higher returns. Remember, real estate deals, the best deals are made, the profits in real estate are made on the purchase. So if you're going to go out and buy distressed properties, there's a potential to spend less and there's a potential to make a higher return, a potential. Okay. Remember all of the unforeseen things. So you can protect yourself by having inspections and all of that. That's why you need a great team, okay? The ability to shop around is another pro for DIY. You can shop around. When you're doing things on your own, you can shop around with different materials. You can decide, we're not going to do granite countertops over here. We're going to do Formica because it's more of a high traffic, maybe a student housing kind of play. So I don't need to do this. You can shop around for different materials and make that decision, possibly even negotiate on services. You know, if you're working with a full service team, that team is doing it all. You're not getting on the phone and saying, hey, I know your window prices. I saw the breakdown on the window prices. Let's shave a few hundred dollars off these window prices. It's not going to happen. Like, sorry, those, you know, if that full service team like ours is building 30, 40 properties at a time, we've locked in lumber prices and window prices, and we're buying furnaces in bulk. So we're able to get negotiated prices on all of that in a way that, you know, we're not negotiating later on this. Like, you're not walking into a showroom, picking out tile and faucets and things and you know, doing the Martin Scorsese deal making. That's not going to happen. So if you are into that and you really want to negotiate and drive down costs on certain things because you think you can do that, or you've got an uncle who runs a tile center or a lumber farm or whatever, great. That's where you can really make bank if you're smart about how you negotiate on things like that, and negotiate bulk pricing and things like that. So you're not going to be paying retail prices. Let's talk about the cons. So those are all the pros, right? You have more control. You can find deals where you can save some money, okay? And you're going to have the ability to maybe negotiate on some of the project specifics in a way that you might not if you're working with a full service team that will do it for you. So the cons, I can tell you from my experience, it is draining. So this is a huge con. There are things you're not going to know the answers to, and you're going to get calls from your contractor. I'll never forget, I didn't know the first thing about bathtubs when I was renovating my very first property in Michigan. And I got a call from my contractor in the middle of something, and we just had a newborn baby. And he was asking me questions about the tub and the tub's surround. So when he started doing work on the bathtub, he started pulling out he realized like it was all rotten around the back of the tub. So I was like, oh no, what does that mean? So here I'm thinking my costs, I kind of planned in what I could make a profit on this and cash flow and knew that the numbers would made sense. And now that's getting smaller, right? Because he's discovering stuff behind a wall that I didn't know about. And so he's telling me this whole wall around the tub is rotten. It's going to fall through. I'm like, what do we do? So he was able to figure out, we were able to replace that, put up tub surround and those sorts of things. But he was constantly sort of checking in with me. Do we want to reglaze the tub or put in a brand new tub? I'm like, I don't know. I have to ask his, because he didn't want to do it without my knowledge. But I'm like, I don't know about reglazing tubs. I don't know what's better, what's worse, what's going to look better. I want my tenant to be happy in the property. I don't want them to walk in and see some crappy looking bathtub. So what do we do, where I'm not spending $3,000? But I was constantly having to deal with these types of questions. We had problems with termites in the property that we discovered. We had a roofing problem. we had a flooring issue. I mean, it was just like an endless nightmare of things that I didn't know about that we had to deal with. And then when all was said and done, I got calls from the city because the sidewalk out front needed repair. I'm like, wait a minute, I own the sidewalk? Isn't that the city's job? That was a $2,300 repair on a sidewalk because it was like deviated a little bit. Like these are things you just don't know and you don't think about, and it can be draining. It's going to require most of you, of your mental capital, okay, and your time. And if you have others helping you, like property management companies and contractors, they need you to sign off on it. So they're going to be contacting you. You're going to still be involved every step of the way. Do you want to do this or do you want to do this? Here's what we found. Here's the cheaper route. Here's the more expensive route. And you have to make those decisions. That is a con. That's a bad thing. Okay. If you want this to be a passive investment, why would you want to also be a project manager? So this is a huge thing to consider in this process. The next is high competition. Another con. We all know that real estate market has been hyper competitive over the past few years. It's the same when it comes to finding great rental properties. The reason that we at our company at Morris Invest have a waiting list is because of the demand. So there's a reason that people want to buy new construction rental properties, because it's a hedge against inflation, an amazing tax shelter, the cash flow is fantastic. So there's demand for it. Now amplify that by all of the investors out there trying to find off-market properties that are distressed that they can add value to and then hope to be able to hold cash flow and place tenants in. It's hyper competitive. And like I said, when I was in New Jersey, I had a team set up. I had a phone system set up and I was spending $11,000 a month sending out direct mail to people's doors. And I had to hit a certain level of criteria. How long have they owned the property? How much equity do they have in the property? I would mail those particular people based on the lists that I pulled and bought. And it had to meet a certain criteria. I get certain people that would call me yelling at me, why are you asking to buy my house? I just moved in here. I'm like, well, that was a mistake, you know? And then you get lucky, a diamond in the rough. But I literally, it was amazing. I would go to meet with a potential seller on a property. This was back when it wasn't even as hyper-competitive as it is now. And I would go there to sit down with a seller, and they said, yeah, I got like three other letters in the mail from three other investors. But I figured I'd hear what you have to say. And I'm like, oh, great. So now we're getting into a bidding war, you know, over this property. So hyper-competitive, very, very difficult to find these properties. If you have the temerity to do it, good for you. But depending on where you want to invest, it might be difficult to get your foot in the door, especially if you want to invest in the best rental markets in the country. That's another thing to consider.
Oh, I love that sound. That sound absolutely makes me smile, especially if you're a small business owner. You hear that sale, and that means that someone has made a purchase through your Shopify site. That's right. It's the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like myself the resources once reserved for big business. You can customize anything for your needs, build out the site however you want with great looking online storefronts that brings, you know, all of your ideas to life. Maybe you run like an antique store, right? And you want to build an online presence. Well, you can tweak the whole website to look antique, you know, to give it a real antique and vintage vibe. Maybe you sell mustache care items. That just literally just popped into my head. And I was thinking how cool it would be to build like a barbershop style storefront, you know, with mustache cream and shaving implements and all that. And I'm just spitballing ideas here, guys. And that's what you can do with a Shopify store. You can let your creative juices just flow endlessly. And I love that about Shopify. You know, you have endless possibilities. It's a journey, but that's the beauty of being an entrepreneur. Shopify powers millions of entrepreneurs just like me, from first sale to full scale. I love how Shopify makes it easy for anyone to successfully run their own business. Get started with very minimal upfront, you know, time and effort. Really can be up and running in no time. And every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their first sale on Shopify. Get started by building and customizing your online store with no coding, no design experience. Access powerful tools to help you find customers, drive sales, and manage your day-to-day operations. You can gain knowledge and confidence with extensive resources to help you succeed. Plus, they have 24/7 support, so you're never alone if you need help with anything. It's more than a store because Shopify grows with you. So go to shopify.com/investing, all lowercase. You got to put in all lowercase to get a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling today at Shopify. Go to shopify.com/investing right now. That's shopify.com/investing.
Now, let's take a little coffee break and let's talk about working with a team, specifically working with a full service team like our team. Now, I noticed all of these problems in the market, right? I noticed the frustration from people that didn't just want like a turnkey company to hand them a key and then they're done and out of the business. I also noticed how difficult it was to find properties. For myself, spending $11,000 a month in marketing to find properties and finding like one or two deals, if I was lucky, per month. I mean, this is what I was up against. And so I knew how difficult it was. And so by then taking our company in a direction that was full service, like holding people's hand through the whole process, that was the natural evolution of what I was doing because I saw the benefits of it. I knew that I personally, as an investor, wouldn't want to do all of these things. Every night I was on the phone. I had a special Google Voice phone number set up and phone was constantly ringing for real estate deals and trying to find deals and going to people's properties, not finding properties, walking through all kinds of hoarding experience. Tell you, the amount of hoarding that I saw walking through where I couldn't even walk open doors in certain people's houses because they were piled floor to ceiling with newspapers and newspaper clippings. And I'll tell you one creepy story. Can I tell you this real fast? There was one house that I was considering doing a deal on and went up the stairs and it was all like all the windows were like blacked out, like curtains pulled, you know, middle of the day. And there was like this eerie like sound like from a TV coming from one of the rooms. And I went into this, I couldn't open the room door to get into this one bedroom. And it was just filled floor to ceiling with like newspapers and boxes and stuff, right? And like, oh, there was a bed in there. Like somehow someone would sleep in this room. I don't know. And it was all shades pulled. And there was like a small, like almost like black and white television just playing like some creepy TV show. I'm like, this is like the Twilight Zone. Like that's the kind of stuff that you have to deal with as an investor. And then don't even get me started on, like, this is a, you know, 70-year-old house in New Jersey. Don't even get me started on what the basement looked like, you know, walking down there. Like, literally one of the steps broke as I'm, like, falling in, like, the money pit to try to hold on. So imagine thinking about buying this house and then the amount of work that we would have to do on renovating this thing. It's a lot. All right. So let's talk about some of the pros about this. Number one, you ensure you're in a great market. If you're working with a team that's doing all of the legwork, like we are, and understanding the demographics, new highways being built, new jobs coming in, school districts, best school districts, best tax benefits, all of those things, then you're in a market with a great team that's already conducted thorough market research. And I say that because then also the banks that we are working with, especially on non-recourse financing, those banks are not going to finance deals that they have not already signed off on as well. So it's like having an extra second, third, even fourth layer of eyeballs on investments from the banks. Because, you know, if you're working with a full service team, you're going to be able to do financing on the properties. Like if you're finding an off-market distressed property, chances are you're going to have to pay cash for that deal. Like we really didn't even talk about that, but that's a big deal, right? Someone's going to want a cash offer on a property. And this way, by working with a full service team, you get to use the bank's money. And the bank has already signed off on these properties because they're working with a full service team and they've developed those relationships. So you're in a great market. You're in a great cash flow market. We have a whole video here. We'll link it in the description below where you can learn more about our team's specific process in analyzing markets before we ever enter those markets. We're looking at vacancy rates, making sure those vacancy rates are low. Job growth. We're looking to make sure crime is low. We're looking to make sure that jobs are coming, not going. We're making sure that the cash flow is there, the property management, the diversity of jobs. All of those things go into a rental market before we ever even buy the land and start building properties. So all of those things. Again, we'll have a link to that video here in the description, as well as the chat for you guys to check it out. The next benefit of working with a full service team is that you're not going to have any expensive repairs or renovations. With new construction rental properties, all of the components are brand new. So you're getting a new furnace, a brand new water heater, a new roof, a new house. Everything is new. Even the tenant going into the property is new. So all of those things are new. And then you get the tax benefits of that as well, which we'll get to in a little bit. But again, new. You don't have to worry about asbestos piping in the basement. You don't have to worry about a foundation problem being, you know, falling in on itself. Nothing. It's all new. So I don't bother with those old properties anymore. I used to. Way too much of a headache. It doesn't make sense anymore. It really doesn't. When you add up everything, it doesn't make any sense. Next is great tenants. So there are two main reasons for this, for the tenants. We only work, our company at Morris Invest, we only work with top tier management companies, management teams. These are the best. Okay. And again, we have a whole video on what we look for in our property management teams. I would encourage you to watch that video because we have even had some interviews with property managers so you can see what their offices look like. You can see how they do their job. This is incredibly important. We need to know, how do you screen your tenants? What do you look for in a tenant that's going to live in this property? What do you make them do before they move into this property? And they get to be picky about it. Like, I don't want just any old tenant going into this property. I want a tenant with a great job. I want a tenant that has no bankruptcies on their record. I want tenants that don't have evictions on their record. All of those, a criminal record, all of those things. You know, what are the things that you look for in a tenant? And that's what a property manager is going to do, so we can be picky about these tenants so that they'll stay in this property for a long time. And I don't mind waiting 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month for the right tenant to go into the property. I'd much rather have that house be vacant for a few weeks after the new construction is completed, while the property management company is going through applications and vetting those tenants. Don't rush and put a tenant in there that's going to, you know, be terrible and in 2 months is going to be have to, you know, kick this tenant out or evict this tenant, and then I'm stuck with a tenant turnover and now I've got to place a proper tenant in there. No. It's like the difference between buying crappy furniture and buying good furniture that's going to last forever. You know, when you're going and you're buying that piece of crappy particle board furniture, it's going to break, right? The first time you move, the corner is going to break off. You know what I'm talking about. You know that crappy IKEA furniture, you know? Now that's why now IKEA has actually moved a lot of their furniture away from that crappy particle board. Just buy the good furniture up front that it's going to last you a couple hundred years, right? That's what we look for. We want those tenants that are going to stay a long time. That's why great tenants are the key to your success. So again, with a great team in place, that problem will not present itself and should be taken care of. The next pro on my list here is it's more passive. You know, after all, you're creating a new job for yourself if you're DIYing everything yourself. I personally, you know, I'm in my 40s. I don't want another job. I love what I do, helping people build financial freedom. I don't want another job, which is also managing my properties and finding distressed properties. I've done all that. Not anymore. No, thank you, sir. So more passive. I truly believe, you know, no investment should be entirely passive. Okay, let's get that out of your head. But you can really mitigate the amount of work that you have to do by working with a great team. Yes, you're still going to have to file your taxes. You still want to check in with your team, your property management team, every so often. How's the property doing? Next year, are we able to raise rent? Is the tenant going to re-up their lease, et cetera? Having conversations about that. All of that. It's important, right? Checking in on your IRA, your self-directed IRA, all of those pieces. You still have to be active with your passive investments. Don't pretend for a second that they're just set it and forget it, Ron Popeil style. You still have to be involved. But it's way more passive to have a team that's handling all of the day-to-day for you. Very, very important. You don't have to go through the hassle of screening contractors and picking out flooring and hiring property management teams, none of that. And then finally, relationship-based. The reason at Morris Invest we built the company the way we did and we evolved our services was to develop a relationship. I see some people here in the chat right now that are working with our team, like JR, for instance, and others, which is wonderful. And our goal is to build a relationship with those clients for the long term. Because if JR comes to us and says he wants to get to 7 or 10 rental properties over the course to hit financial freedom, that's our goal. And our team is going to know that and work with him for the next couple of years to make that happen. And it's relationship based. It's not, here's the keys, bye, never see you again. It's going to be an ongoing dialogue. And we're going to be able to look at JR's financial situation and say, okay, he's got an IRA over here. He's got a 401k here. He's got some cash. Great. We'll pull this over here, piece this together with financing, with the banks that we work with, put all these Lego pieces together to help build a certain portfolio. That's relationship based. That's why we built the company the way we did. I much prefer that. When people book calls with us, they're like, wait a minute, I have to jump on the phone with you guys? Yeah, it's not just an internet site. Like, we want to actually get on the phone with you and have a conversation and multiple conversations with you. This is your retirement, right? This is you. This is your passive income cash flow portfolio. This is not something you just do through the internet with a point and click on Zillow. So that's why I've been, from the very beginning of starting this company years ago, was there's a big red button right on the front page of our website at Morris Invest. Book a call with us. Click the book a call button and a calendar pops up and you pick a 30-minute time slot that suits you and we call you at that time. Just make sure you put in your right phone number. People put the wrong phone number all the time or they put in the wrong email address. And then we have a relationship. We talk. You know, I know it's amazing, right? We use the phone and we talk about your goals And if that's not of interest to you to not have a relationship, then again, maybe a DIY approach is better for you. More hands off, you know, then great. That's not what we want as a relationship. We want to have a relationship, a discussion, you know, and to learn about your goals and to develop that portfolio. So again, if you don't want a relationship, if you're not the person that likes to talk to people and have someone help you in that process, then maybe doing it all yourself is a much better approach for you. The same thing is true of control. Like if you like to have more control, again, DIY is going to be definitely your cup of tea. So there are some cons with working with a full service team like ours. Number one, there's some homework. there is. When you book a call with our team, we actually have you fill out, there's a PDF download that you have to do that before your first phone call with us. And you're like, oh my God, I have to do homework? Yes. And it's like one page or so. It's a purpose-driven goals worksheet. And we also have our freedom cheat sheet. So when you book a call with us, it's like a PDF download. It'll get sent to your email inbox. And we want you to work through it because it's going to figure out exactly like what your freedom number is, your overall finances, and we're going to be able to, that'll prepare us for that first phone call. And so some people might see that as a con. And if they do, then that's somebody that we wouldn't want to work with, right? If someone wouldn't take 5-10 minutes out of their day to work on their own finances, that's probably not going to be a good fit for us. And the benefit of what we do is we get to pick who we work with, right? There's people that book calls with us all the time that we just choose not to work with because we just don't think it's a good fit. You know, they're not interested in their own finances. They don't want to do the homework. They don't want to figure out their freedom number. And that's just not going to be a fit for us, you know? In years past, we might have worked with those people and it's always been a problem. You know, and so we just don't do it anymore. So that's a con. There is some homework, okay? You've got to figure out one of these worksheets. It's very, very simple. And that'll help us to figure out if working with us or a full service company is going to be a fit or not. Another con is there's no inventory list. Sometimes people will call us and say, can you just send me a list of inventory of your properties and I'll make a decision. We don't do that. Like when you work with our company, you're not just shopping for a rental property. To me, the rental property is secondary. It's third. It's fourth. It's not even in the top five things. Because we're building the properties. That's fine. We'll figure that out later. Our goal is to help you reach your financial goals. And so what are those goals? Where are you? You know, we can fit the property later. It's not about you just picking out of a hat like what type of property. So we don't have an inventory list. We believe that buying a rental property should, we don't believe that like when you go into a diner or a cheesecake factory and there's like a menu that comes out that's this thick and you can pick from anything, you know, we don't feel that that's not the way we want to operate, that you should just be able to pick properties off of menu and that's it. That's not the way we operate. It's never been. It's just always felt icky to me. So we just don't do it. Also a con is there's limited market availability. We're incredibly particular about the markets that we're in. And we do a lot of research to be in these markets before we ever break ground and start building. We only invest in markets where we've heavily vetted, and that we've heavily vetted all of the demographic material in these areas. And we've heavily done all of our research, before we ever invest in certain markets. So, you know, if you're looking for properties that are like right in your backyard, chances are it's probably not the best rental market in the country. And if that's something that you're interested in is being able to drive by your rental properties in your backyard, then it's not going to be a fit for you at all. We are only in the best rental markets in the country. We're in Texas is the number one landlord friendly state in the country. So there's a reason that we build our properties in Texas. Most of them. That's where most of our focus is right now. It's just, we have the best contractors. It's the most landlord friendly. The job growth is phenomenal. So if you, I get emails from people all the time like, hey, what about, I live here in Iowa. Do you have any properties in Iowa? No, we're not in Iowa. So, but if you're like hung up on Iowa, then I would suggest you go kind of do it yourself and find a property in Iowa. But that's, Iowa does not meet our target vetting from a demographic and job growth, and it does not meet our targets. So we're not going to build there. So again, there is limited market availability. I can tell you, doing a show like this, I will see like questions all the time, like, what about this town in, you know, Georgia? I'm like, it might be fine, but we're not building there. And we try to keep it small. We're building about 500 properties a year for our clients, so we're not building tens of thousands. and we keep it focused. So we keep it focused on the areas where we've done extensive research, where there's job growth, low vacancy, low crime, and frankly, are kind of boring, you know? And boring I love, because then they're not given craziness when you have crazy market undulations like in Vegas and San Francisco and this. I like boring, consistent, nice cash flow in markets that are really recession proof. That's what I love. That's where we like to build. We have a full video on that too. I will link it up in the description below on what it's like to work with a full service team. I'd encourage you to check out that video so you can get some more sense of what we do and see if it's a fit for you, or if the DIY is more of a fit for you. I mean, I think this video, I don't think I left any stone unturned. I mean, in the thousands of real estate deals that I've done, many of them, I mean, a huge majority of them have been DIY. And the fact that I have, more wrinkles and gray hair is as a result of those DIY deals. Absolutely 100% my experience. So to wrap things up, it's really important that you really dig in and decide what you want out of this experience of investing. Ultimately, it comes down to you know, what you want to do and what you want your involvement level to be. No matter what you choose, it's important that you do your own research one way or the other. Absolutely. Always get an inspection on a property. Okay. Always get an inspection. Whether you're working with a team or you're doing it yourself. And if you do choose to work with a team, make sure you're getting all of your questions answered on the phone. So like if you book a call with our team at Morris Invest, we are going to expect that every question you have, we will answer. And we're not going to... You know, we're going to have multiple phone calls because we want to make sure that every question you have is answered. You want to fly to town and meet our team? Please come to town. Do it. Walk through the properties. Meet the property management team. All of it. If that's what you want to do, absolutely. Please come to town. We'd be more than happy to show you the different markets if you want. But on the phone, we'd be able to answer any question you have. That is imperative. So if you'd like to book a call with our team, just go to morrisinvest.com, click on the book a call button. Remember, you're going to have to do some homework. So download those PDFs, prepare for your first phone call. And when we get on the phone, we're going to ask you about those PDF downloads. You know, what is your freedom number? What are your goals? And we'll go from there. So I hope this answers your questions on DIY versus full service.